Okay, put the sunglasses on the chair because you don't want the table to see him cry.
We are a community that we have ideas, and we are wanting to improve the town as a whole. And one thing that we can do to improve this town as a whole is that we need to bring the entertainment industry to us. We're tired of movies that are feature outside places like Hollywood. Who wants to learn about Hollywood? Ugh. Or like you just, you know, like there are many reasons that Friendly Town can have a thriving entertainment community of its own. And we have many, many creators and directors and people out there who are willing to make this happen. Our Friendly Town producer, Todd Lewis, our bartending mayor, please, please make sure to tip him. And he pitched the idea. He's a man of many talents, and he was like, let's pitch movies. And I'm like, yeah, sure. We'll bring the council space that we're doing tonight to pitch movies. And I would like to start out with my own. So I was walking, I was walking back from Atlanta. That does not happen. That is not a thing that happens in modern society. I was in 1866. I was driving back, and there are many billboards on the way back. Many of them, most of them are law firm based, I realize. Like, they're just, like, basically, if you get injured in Atlanta, the billboards are there. It's like, hey, remember to sue. Let's go. Hey, come on. Let's go sue something. Come on. Anything. You got a Pepsi in a Coke town? Well, let's fucking sue. Just bring it happen. Let's make it happen. We're hungry. But there was one that really caught my attention, and it was saying that we're not... This is, it said, I can't remember the rest of it. It was a yellow billboard, and it said, this is not a billboard. This is a high-powered injury law firm. And I don't remember the actual name of it, so honestly, bad billboard. Let's talk about that. But that got me thinking, what if it was a high-powered injury law firm? What if that billboard was the lawyer we need in today's society? And that's like, that thing in me, like, we're thinking about an air dog scenario here, basically. Like, there's no rule. Andrew McNicholas, can you confirm that, is there no rule that can say that a billboard cannot be a lawyer?
No.
See?
Yes, there is no rule that a billboard can't.
All right, we're getting somewhere with this. We are getting somewhere here. So I figure that we have one of those billboards that have the flashy LED lights, and they change every 30 seconds. They have different things on there, and it becomes sentient. So a lightning strike happens to it. It hits it, and suddenly it realizes it can see the world. It can see everything around it, and it's honestly tired of dealing with the same thing, like CW shows and all the things that it normally sees. And it wants to express itself, but it realizes it's a billboard. The company gets paid to put things on it. And the only person that knows is the service, the billboard maintenance guy who comes up and changes the slides or whatever. He goes up and he realizes it, and they work through this scenario together. The elevator pitch basically is that, like, they're working together to make this law firm happen in court. He's to face the billboards, the brains. It's got the backing of a Lamar, like a mainframe that can, like, do billions of calculations a second. Of course, it can do law. It can figure it out. It's also mining bitcoins, because that's a subplot somewhere in there. I'm sure there's a heist. There's always some sort of heist in these type of movies. But there's definitely a couple villain guys that, like, it's like a billboard. We don't want technology. Like, basically, you know, I just realized this is basically a short circuit one. I'm sorry, guys. So, I'll try again a little bit later. But for now, I would like to introduce our first pitcher on the stage, movie pitcher, move like on the pitching mound, and I forgot to bring it up, so I don't know who it is actually. So if someone would someone mind telling me who it is, or bring it up. Which
that,
Keith
that, Orlowski. That way you have it.
Thank you. Keith Orlowski has brought me the list here. I'm gonna bring to the stage Keith Orlowski and Clinton Ricks.
We got like lots of good ideas. We got like great ideas. I don't even know how many of you guys have any ideas because we've got like all the ideas.
All of them.
So our best pitch, like our number one, it's like, So there's a table. And the table, it falls in love with a chair. And what's the chair say, Clint? It's the chair. Tell them what the chair says.
My family told me not to talk to any tables, but I don't care. I love you.
And then the table said,
I don't think I continue on with this. We're just used for hands and you use for butts.
It's kind of like a Romeo and Juliet thing, but with hands and butts. Our second idea. So there's a chair. And this chair hates this table. And this table, he just wants to have fun.
Didn't you see the movie about the table and the chair? Tell us something. We're living this in real life.
And then the table died. Can you do that again, but like more dramatic?
Gotcha.
We're trying to put on a good show here, Clint. Come on. Third idea. So we're at a table funeral. And this chair, who is very unlike the two chairs from before, this chair is attending the table funeral. And I think you'll be pretty surprised how this one goes. The end. Thank you, everybody.
Keith Orlowski, Clinton Ricks. I like that for a lot of reasons. I think we got drama, we got facts. We also have our star, which is Mayor Table, and introducing Table Mayor, and introducing Chair Secretary. So we got a couple key roles that we can use in many films. Like we can have that vehicle going through. I think we can work with that. But we got a few more ideas to go through. One other thing I would like to mention that is, if you need dramatic trailer music for any reason, I will load up any random one that you have that you want from YouTube for you during your set, and it'll just be totally random. But you'll just have to make with the drama with that. So, but coming up next. He is a man who knows about film. He can tell us all the dark secrets that it contains. His name is Bartending Mayor Todd Lewis.
So when I pitched this idea, I was like, oh, like pitching movies, that sounds fun. That sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. Like, got a lot of good ideas for movies that are funny. And then over the past 2 weeks, my group of friends that I make movies with, we've been pitching and voting on ideas to move forward with their next project. So this is what I've been doing for like 2 weeks. And then it's like, Tyler's like, yeah, we're doing the movie idea on Monday. And in my brain, I'm kind of like, that's the last thing I want to do right now. I read 27 scripts this morning. I'm going to die. But I got really drunk last night so I can power through. So I came up with three really good pitches, or like one really good pitch and two stinkers. I'm not sure. Try to find out which is which. So first off, it's like, you know, Friendly Town needs a movie, but maybe we don't want to spend that much money. And just because we don't spend that much money doesn't mean we can't make a blockbuster. So we're going to make a sequel to Independence Day called Labor Day. And the only way we're going to be able to defeat the invading aliens is if everyone takes the day off. It's a cheap. And yeah, maybe there's a pool party involved. Pool party scenes. That's my first pitch. My second pitch, like, it kind of pisses me off that the main character's always got to be, like, a person or an animal, you know. I want, like, a movie where the main character is an inanimate object. So it's like, the point is the movie starts with these coins being pressed, these coins being made, but then, like, one of the coins gets double-stamped, and it's, like, got, like, two heads on the coin, and it's, like, a cursed coin. So it's, like, the first person hands it to the bank, you know, after the mint, and then his bank gets robbed and he gets shot. And then, like, the guy that robs the bank's, like, running down the street with the cursed coin, and he gets, like, ran over by a stagecoach. And then, like, the stagecoach driver finds the coin on the body and puts it in his pocket, and then he's, like, riding a riverboat, and, like, the boiler explodes and, like, sends him sky high and dead back into the water. And then, like, fast forward 60 years later, like, a guy's using a metal detector, and he finds the cursed coin. But then he goes home to find his wife, like, cheating with his partner. And, like, he like, you know, they get divorced, and he gets really sad. And that's my cursed coin movie idea. And, yeah, it would end on some sort of, like, futuristic point. I just imagine it being, like, Cloud Atlas, but with, like, people finding this coin through the ages, like the same actors in different time periods. Speaking of the same actors, I think I had this idea with, like, Sean Cimino and Tyler Sonnixon. We were goofing around at the bar one night. I can't remember who all was, like, goofing in it. But, like, we were talking about how awesome it would be to make a biopic of Ernest P. Worrell, the Jim Varney character. Not Jim Varney's life, but the life of Ernest P. Worrell. And so it would be like that Bob Dylan movie where we get like seven or eight huge name actors to play Ernest. So it's like you get like Adrian Brody to play Ernest for a few scenes. And then we get like Sam Rockwell as a Muppet to play Ernest for a few scenes. I think Rowan might be able to help with that. Then like Whoopi Goldberg as Ernest, like Ron Funches, Gwyneth Paltrow, and like whatever kid actor is popular right now. I don't know. Like Spuds McKenzie, come play him for a little while. I think Spuds McKenzie would be awesome dressed up like Ernest. It's like he wouldn't even. Maybe for like a super dramatic scene too, like the death of his father. It's just like Ernest is a dog for that scene. I don't know. I think it would be cool. And I'm like. I think, like, beloved character actor James Wong could play Ernest as, like, an elderly man. I think that would be an awesome movie. And if I had all the power in the world, I would make this movie. All the money and all the power, that's what I would do with it. Because I've always had a soft spot for Ernest. Thank you.
First of all, I do fully support the Ernest biopic. I think that definitely needs to happen. Second of all, I like the thread going through all these is that we love inanimate objects in Friendly Town. Because we want billboards, we want lint, we want tables and chairs, we want Ernest and cursed coins. It is. Coming up next, though, he is a man brimming with ideas. And I want to use the word brimming because I don't hear it that often, and it's a fun word to say. Brimming! Please welcome Sean Seminole.
John, if you want to do your billboard idea, I suggest casting the sentient billboard from the Steve Martin movie L.A. Story. It's a very good movie. I suggest there's a sentient billboard in it who talks. So I would suggest maybe reaching out to his agent or something like that, see if he can do that. So I am Sean Seminole, and a few years ago I pitched an idea for a sequel to the movie There Will Be Blood, titled There Will Be Lots and Lots of Blood. It was an action movie. I reenacted several scenes of it. If we ever got those videos from Matt Chadorn, we'd be able to see it, but no! So anyways, ever since that huge financial success of that movie, I've been a big-time movie producer, and I've had my my lackeys working on this new app that I've developed that takes advantage of machine learning to generate entire movies completely random out of this algorithm. So the algorithm I built is generate random celebrities, their character names, character backgrounds, an entire plot with plot twists. So I'm going to fire this up for the first time, and we're going to see random celebrities here. And our male lead will be played by Jerry Seinfeld. And his character name will be Lyric Johnny Ott. He is 14 years old, from Alabama. He will die at age 90 from heart disease. And his blood type is B negative. Our female lead will be Kanye West. And their name will be Arne Evelyn Peterson, a 59-year-old man from Detroit who will also die at 90 from heart disease. Our supporting male lead, we're going to go for all four of the acting categories in the Oscars this year. Our supporting male lead, John Bon Jovi, playing Debbie Malachi Huddleston, a 33-year-old woman from Sydney, Australia, who will die at 76 from an unspecified illness. And finally, our supporting actress, Lindsay Lohan. All right. And so rounding out the four, and her name will be Harrison Thomasina Irvine. An Australian, 44-year-old Australian man. So there we go. So there are four principal actors. Moving on to our plot. Okay, our main Lyric Johnny Ott, played by Jerry Seinfeld, is a man in his late 20s who is very mysterious. And our secondary character there, played by... I forgot who was playing our... Kanye West, yep, is a woman in her 70s who is very selfish, and the two of them will be in a marina where someone receives an inheritance. And let me tell you beforehand, this is a story about justice. So the story begins when Jerry Seinfeld's character, Lyric Johnny Ott, approaches the situation very carefully. But all of a sudden, there's a tornado! Yeah. All right, so far we have set up so that we have Jerry Seinfeld and his leading lady, Kanye West, are at a marina about to receive an inheritance, when all of a sudden, there is a tornado. I'm picturing sort of a, you know, the Rock has sort of capitalized on all these natural disasters things. I'm thinking that we can have, we can kind of capitalize on... sort of the Sharknado vibe of like, hey, will that tornado suddenly suck sharks out of the water? There won't be. We cannot get the rights to the sharks won't sign off on their likeness. But we might imply it. Like, we might have Kanye West being like, tornado on the ocean, I think I see sharks in there. But we won't show any sharks. Can't get the rights. We're going to keep this super cheap. And then all of a sudden, in comes in John Bon Jovi's character, who has an important substance that is revealed to be made from substances that are supposedly mythical. So John Bon Jovi is obviously a wizard. He's a middle-aged Australian woman who is a wizard and is trying to cast a spell to dispel the tornado when all of a sudden, who was our last actress? Lindsay Lohan, yes. Comes with a alien, backed up by alien forces. The characters end up, thanks to alien forces, the characters end up in the Earth's past. So now we're in the past. We're going back to when the inheritance was first gained, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe we can have another Sharknado, but there wouldn't be a Sharknado. And then to end, demons take over the Earth. Wow, that's, you know, in all of our testing, the algorithm has always turned out that demons take over the end. They take over the Earth at the end of the movie, and it always says, end it with the end, ... question mark. So, and then, of course, we have to generate a title, and we are going to generate a title, The Repetition Sink. There we go. So, coming in 2019, The Repetition Sink, starring Jerry Seinfeld as lyric Johnny Ott, and Kanye West as a woman, and John Bon Jovi also as a woman, and Lindsay Lohan as a man. So this is going to be an award winner for sure. I think we got a surefire gold on our hands. So keep an eye out for that. Coming soon to theaters near you, The Repetition Sink. Thank you.
John Cimino!
We've already created the Kickstarter. It's up there. We have guaranteed funding at this point. So all we're waiting for now is that we just gotta wait for the Kickstarter people to forget about the actual Kickstarter and just take the money and go. So hey, there we go. Also, LA Story is about a sentient billboard that helps a human. This is a human helping a sentient billboard. The billboard's going to get all the credit this time around. The time that billboards finally had their place in society. So. Coming up next to the stage, he's a man that should have his own billboard in the future. Please welcome Andrew McNicholas.
Yeah. I honestly hope not. Don't ever take legal advice from someone on a billboard. So I was trying to think up. I got a couple pitches. I wrote a couple pitches down, and I was thinking of them. And so this one, I think. I want it to be played by either Nick Offerman or what's the Hemsworth brother or Todd Lewis. Honestly, okay, yeah, either Nick Offerman or Todd Lewis. This could work. That actually might be better than what I was thinking. Okay, so it's this guy and he runs like jokingly to be president. And this isn't even political commentary. This is how it's going to happen though. But he like somehow wins, but he doesn't want to be president. So he constantly does shit to try to get impeached. But somehow the stuff that he does ends up making things better than it like was before. So like he'll declare war on like Zimbabwe, and then everyone's like, "Oh man, like I don't know about that." But then it turns out Zimbabwe was like stockpiling nuclear arms, and everyone's like, "Oh shit!" Like Todd Lewis is the greatest president ever. And then you know he's like, "Oh shit!" Like I really want to get impeached. So he goes around like kicking babies at any intersection that he can. But it turns out that those babies were like demons or aliens or something, and so they're like, wow, he's a national hero, like Todd Lewis, greatest president ever. And then I don't know if I want him to actually get impeached or just keep doing things, and like maybe the movie just kind of fizzles out at some point. I don't know, because like I think it would be funny, just like the last thing he does is like he stabs the vice president, and then it turns out the vice president was a shapeshifter. It's like Todd Lewis, greatest president ever. Okay, so this is to get, like, the youth in Friendly Town out to see this movie. So this is pretty edgy, and it might be too soon. So, like, I understand if there's a drawback to this. So it's, like, a World War II movie, but somehow there's, like, no blood or death. And the main thing and why it's really edgy is, like, you watch this movie, and you're like, okay, so, like, it's this dude, and he's the leader of a country, and he's trying to get his country off of his feet. And now all these other bigger countries are kind of treating him like he's a small guy, and he is, but, like, he can't help it. And it turns out the whole time you've been following the story of Adolf Hitler. And you just, like, you feel bad for him at the end somehow. I think that'd be, like, it's kind of spooky to do, but that might work, because, like, an hour and a half in, you're like, holy shit, I've been rooting actively for this guy, who's Adolf Hitler. Okay, so this one is, so it's, like, something about a dog that can talk, but the dog... They can only talk to humans. This dog cannot speak to other animals. Because the main plot of most movies with the talking animal is it's like the bridgeway between like the human world and the pup world. But that's like the whole... He's got to find like either, you know, a translating device or the other one dog and or cat that can speak humans with him. Because like there's a war coming, I guess, from... other animals, maybe, that are, and they're really pissed off at humans for doing whatever we do. I want to somehow work in, like, scorpions evolve the ability to fly somewhere in this movie, because I think that'd be terrifying. But it's, like, it's a really cute dog that is, like, able to talk to us, so, like, you're really rude. It's kind of got, like, the Marley and Me vibe, but, like, no sadness. And then, okay, this one, okay, if I could flesh this out, this is the last one I wrote down. So it's Finding Nemo, except it's Finding Cthulhu. And I feel like we can just do anything, because that's like the dark ancient one, and so we could really tap into his backstory and like, I don't know, like make him look like really cuddly, or like is he trying to find another like squid monster creature like him? I'm not sure. But I really think Cthulhu hasn't really been given his due diligence. I think that there isn't actually any movie about Cthulhu ever, so maybe we can like hop on this before it's too late and get something going, and then I might have had...
Cthulhu rom-com!
That, yes! Alright, so yeah, so it's Finding Nemo except Finding Cthulhu, but it's a Cthulhu rom-com. And I guess the other main leading love actress would also either be Nick Offerman or Todd Lewis. Yeah, that's it. I'm not good with movie pitches, this is hard, but thank you.
I like that, first of all, Nick Offerman and Todd Lewis are just interchangeable. And I think that definitely, like, the critics will love a movie where the dog has, like this movie has no sadness. Like, in quotes, no sad. No sad. 5 stars. So we got two more pitches to come here. Or maybe many more, depending on how many pitches they have per person. But there are at least 2 more people. So please, welcome to the stage, returning from his directorial role with the table mayor and chair secretary, Clinton Ricks.
What's up? We made it. I'm rich. After the success of Chair Table, the Chair Table series, Frilly Town Film Studios made him a bunch of money. Didn't do a lot of drugs because we respect chairs and tables. They've got us this far. But I'm back. All right, so the first 3 movies, tons of bucks. People don't think we still got it, though. We're here to let them know that Clinton Keith Studios are still running. Get on out here, Keith. Yeah. Yeah. It took down our supremely wealthy lives to come and bless you with another series of films to bring you joy and happiness. Yeah, so that's what we do. Let's show we still got it. Also, as you know, we don't have titles for our films. We do Twitter polls. We just come up with ideas and we do titles. You do the titles. You do the titles. We have the ideas and the money and the drugs. And the private jets and all the stuff you see on our social media accounts that you wish you had, but you're not smart enough to animate tables and chairs. So, first pitch. This is a film. We've expanded the universe. Yeah. I'm sorry. I had to stun on these haters. Our supporters. This is why the franchise is tanking. Because you're never prepared. Take a seat. I'm not mad with power. This is how a genius talks. We yell. Just imagine every word has an exclamation mark at the end of it. So, this is a story about a chair and a table that meet. But this time around, there are humans in this world. All right, we know the fans didn't want people, but we got to insert ourselves at some point. This is a story about a guy who sits on a chair, but he doesn't know it's alive. And the table can't speak, and is trying to tell him that he's smothering the chair by shaking a lot.
What's that? What's that last?
And the chair is muffling.
What the fuck you mean?
is. So check the Twitter later. Check the Twitter later. Oh my god. This is what you want. All right. So that's the second. Okay. The second idea. The second. Oh no. He's got Adam. So the second idea is about a table, a chair that takes revenge on a human for killing. For killing his daughter, the chair went all the way to Europe to take revenge for its a chair. And the table just watches it happen. All right. Set them back up, Keith. Set them back up. FFS is gonna fund us again. They're giving us money. I know you're gonna love this idea. This is a movie about a guy who smothered a chair already. And he doesn't care because he's taking a call because his daughter's been kidnapped in France, but the signal keeps dropping. And the table's trying to give him advice on a better carrier plan while overcoming sadness for its chair partner that died. But the table's still shaking violently because tables can't talk. But the universe has expanded so much that the man can understand the table because the relationship between tables and humans have advanced. There you go.
Right now. Jesus Christ. All right, I'm gonna get a ticket and I'm gonna get the first plane. I'll have CK Fulman. Shut the fuck up, table!
Okay. All right. Set him back up, Keith. Good. We got him. Hook, line, and sinker. This is a story. We actually have a name for this. This is Tables and Chairs 3. This is a story. This is a story about a table and a chair that can't get along, and the table has wood cancer, and a comical human is entering the life to make sure that they know that it's all right to feel feelings for one another. But both of them shake violently because the conversations get intense. and the comical guy sings a song.
Jerry the table. and Newman the chair.
Oh no!
But you gotta make good your differences. You gotta make good your differences, or else he's gone.
Oh my god! This is what we do it for here at FFS. We know what the fans want. Wear the sunglasses now, Keith. It's the sad part. Okay, put the sunglasses on the chair because you don't want the table to see him cry.
Newman the chair. Just give him his $5.
That's all we got. Fund our vision. We could do it ourselves, but we have too much money for that. I know that people with a lot of money just ask more people for money, and that's how they keep it. Thank you all. Give it up for John.
Boy, are we going to make it.
We're going to make it! Budget Rex! And Keith Orlowski as well, again. Featuring the second part of their second trilogy of This Is What You Wanted. Well, we all wanted. But you know what? The good news is, we know that's a success. We're hoping to get them two pairs of sunglasses in the future. We're hoping for it. But we got one. We're reaching high for the second pair. Fingers crossed here. So we got one more. We already have one successful series of movies, but I think we can have at least 10 more. And feet coming up to the stage to give us these 10 more pitches, or maybe one. I don't know. I don't know how to count. It's St. Thomas LeDoux.
All right, my first pitch, it's for a film. It's called The Talker. And the way we make it is we just try to film like any other movie, but there's just someone kind of talking in the background of every shot. And the people listening to the podcast right now are probably cracking up because they've been hearing this person for the last 20 minutes of the podcast. Anyway, no, real pitch. It's called... It's like the big game, but it's basically an analogy about capitalism, but through the lens of a basketball game. And so the economy is cast as the game itself, and the government is the referee, and LeBron James plays the role of the entire capitalist class. And the way the film opens is a dark room, and there's a woman giving birth to a baby, and this baby comes out, and then the lights come on, and you realize she just gave birth in the middle of a basketball court, and it's in a completely full arena, and it's just this baby and LeBron James, except that it's already the fourth quarter of the basketball game, and LeBron James has 100 points. And so, where do we go from here? LeBron James is LeBron James, and the baby is a baby, and LeBron James is just like kicking his baby's ass, and the people on the sidelines are just like, come on, you good for nothing baby, keep up. And meanwhile, LeBron James is dunking this baby's face like, yeah, fuck you, you punk ass baby, you can't do shit. And then after every goal, the referee comes up and just like gives LeBron James like a squirt of steroids real quick. And then he's like, get back out there. And then meanwhile, the baby's coach is like, you're not even trying, baby. And then the baby's like, I'm a baby. And then he's like, I can't. The baby's like, I can't walk. And then the coach is like, well, whose fault is that? And then the ref comes up and penalizes the baby for standing too still. And then the baby's like, that's not even a violation. And then the referee's like, disrespecting the badge. That's another penalty. And then the referee gets real dark, like that scene in Being a Menace in South Central while drinking juice in the hood, but the real version of that movie. Anyway, and he's like the cop in that movie that I can't remember. And he's like, you babies are all the same. No manners. You're like animals. You disgust me. And then it's like, you're supposed to be neutral. And anyway, so then a few people in the audience are like, And then the baby's like, this is ridiculous. You can't treat me this way just because I'm a baby. I matter. And then someone in the audience is like, did you hear what that baby just said? Someone should fucking kill that baby. And then the whole audience is like, yeah, kill that baby. And then LeBron James is like, you know, this no good baby doesn't even deserve to be here. He's taking jobs from hardworking basketball players. And everyone's like, yeah, get that baby out of here. And then LeBron James is like, if it's okay with everyone, I would like to personally kick this baby's ass. And then everyone's like, yeah. And at that point, maybe like a slim majority of people in the audience are like, we're not sure how we feel about that. But then the people who do support LeBron James kicking the baby's ass are like a lot louder, so you can't hear them. And then at this point, LeBron James is just like savagely beating this baby. And then he turns to the audience and he's like, you know, I'm actually doing this baby a favor. I'm civilizing this baby and then assimilating this baby's face with my fists. And that's when you look out in the audience and you realize that it's just full of the battered and bruised children who came before this baby. And it's like a whole audience full of babies who are like cheering on the beating of this baby. And then, but the baby's lucky enough to survive the beating. All right. So it like LeBron James beats him with an inch of his life, but he's like a hard working like immigrant baby, and he's like, I've got the fire of the American dream in me, and I'm not gonna die from this beating from a clearly adult human. And after the baby survives, they give the baby tickets to the next game so that he can watch LeBron James thrash some other toddler. And then the baby knows it's wrong, but he thinks to himself like, well, at least it's not me out there. And then, he goes to the next game. It doesn't feel right. So he tries to speak up and he's like, hey, maybe we shouldn't keep letting LeBron James murder these children. And then security comes up
to his seat and is like, excuse me, do we have a problem? Because if there's a problem, we can put you back out there with LeBron if that's what you want. And then the baby's like, oh, I guess not. And then they're like, I didn't think so. And then the baby thinks, well, like, if I can't do anything about it, I might as well enjoy the show. And then a concessions boy passes by shouting, popcorn! And then the baby's like, yes, I would like a popcorn. And then he gets that popcorn, and he gets comfy, and he's like, you know, maybe this isn't so bad. The end.
Say Tom's Ledoux with the darkest timeline yet. So, all right, we have heard all the pitches that we have, and I'm happy to announce that with the money that we want, what we got for the table chair series, we're going to just fund all the films. So give yourselves a round of applause. We're going to have all the inanimate objects. We're going to have a lot of baby beating. We're going to have a good time here. So thank you. Thank you, one and all. Thank you for coming out to Friendly Town. Like, we do this every Monday. Like, seriously, like, we have the... Just come back next week. We have a new theme that we don't... I don't know what the actual theme is yet, but we will find out soon. You can look at it on our Facebook page. You can like it. You can do all the things that you can do on all those little social media things. You can hit that like. Hit that thumbs up. It's all good. So we have...
Wait,
we have
next week the anniversary show?
No, we already did the anniversary... We already did the anniversary show. We could do... Maybe it's a third-year anniversary so soon, basically. With the time travel thing that happened last week. Maybe we skip a few weeks. Who knows? We'll find out soon, though. We'll let you all know as soon as possible. We have a podcast. You can listen to all the previous episodes as well that we have online. You can rate that 5 stars. You can follow Knox Comedy on Facebook as well. You can do all the things that you would do on Friendly Town, but you can also do it for Knox Comedy. Find out all the things happening in Knox Comedy in town. There's a lot of it. Please check it out. Just a couple of quick reminders. October 8th, we're going to have an event like an out-of-town comedian. Olivia Grace. That's gonna be a very fun time. That's gonna be awesome. Once again, thank you guys for coming out and have a good night.